Hello and welcome to By Its Cover podcast, usually one marriage's journey through movie night, using only the covers of movies found on streaming services. But Kevin is in Las Vegas, so Brandon Valentine, a longtime friend of the pod and friend of us, has agreed to be my co-host today.
Always. I love doing this show. So,
and it's nice that it's, you pop on and are so kind and will co-host with me. And Kevin was like, well, you could just do one by yourself. And I'm like, but I like talking to people.
It gets weird because I do have a couple, like one of my podcasts I do that sometimes it's just me. And it's like after you forget how much you like kill quiet time while you're trying to figure something out with the other host, like being, oh, hey, let me step in.
Absolutely. I also, you know me well enough to know that I love to laugh, and I can laugh at the things that I say because I'll be honest, I'm pretty freaking funny.
You are,
but I also don't want to cross that line and be crazy person talking to myself. So at least if I have someone to play off of, I can laugh and not feel like a complete crazy person.
Not a complete one. Not complete. Yeah.
I will admit to a partial craziness.
And I've done, like I said, some of those ones by myself where there's like odd, awkward pauses because I need to take a drink or something, or I just need to let my voice, you know, and, you know, you come and almost wait for that host to say something. You're like, oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. There's nobody to. Yeah. I can't tell. Well, if you watch these videos, whoever is listening or watching, or if you watch a Barry couple, there's so many times that I'll like pull away and cough, or Kevin will get a drink or something. And there's just that automatic no of, oh, you need to fill that space. Whereas otherwise I'd be sitting there and editing out all my pauses, which, you know, I don't mind editing, but I don't want to sit there for hours and be like, fuck, why did I take so long to take a drink of water?
Why did I pause there? Dang it. And see, that was the hard part with Beach, because when me and Beach did shows together, because it's been a while since we really did one. When we were doing shows, the hardest problem we had is I'm used to doing stuff for the host where I know not that you don't want those pauses. So whenever there was a pause, I would fill the pause. And then he's like, you won't stop talking. I'm like, because you pause for like long periods of time. And I feel like I got to fill it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's like when you were growing up listening to the radio and then there was dead air and you're going, what's going on? Did somebody like have a heart attack?
What happened? Did the radio stop working again? Did we lose power?
Is the station out? Is there, what's going on?
What happened?
So no, I totally feel that. The other thing that my mom, when she does listen to the podcast, really hates is that I fill air with likes and ums, which I'm sure your parents or you as a parent have done that to your kids where you're like, stop using like.
See, Amber, my wife gets me all the time for so. I use that a lot. I say so. So. And she'll be like, do you know how many times? I'm like, I don't want to hear about it.
My mom has a deal with my nephew, who's 8 years old, that every time she says like, she has to pay him a quarter. Is it like or it's a filler word, whatever it may be. But it's definitely become more socially acceptable, I think, especially since I've been a teenager, just because those filler spaces don't necessarily mean that you're stupid. They just mean that you're thinking about what you say next instead of rambling and potentially just saying something really stupid. So I always look at it as a smart pause.
Like I said, mine is so. I'll be like, so, because I'm trying to like connect the usually, you know, two thought processes together where I'm like, you know, okay, so yeah. And then we go into something else and Amber's like, you do that a lot. And I'm like, it's my
Kevin, when he's on stage, there's that, as you know, as a stand-up comedian, when you transition from one joke to another, it's nice if you have a smooth transition. However, there's some jokes, depending on how he does it in what order, it'll go from a teaching set to a weird like sex joke, and he'll be like, sorry, that was a hard pivot.
No. Well, and it's hard because sometimes it's one of those things, and I know Kevin knows this, when you get used to doing longer sets, like I did a couple, you know, feature sets recently, so I was, you know, really working on doing like 25-30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, now go do this, you know, open mic where you're going to do 5. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, there's some stuff I want to work in, but all my I don't have time for those transitions. So it's like, you know, and there was one of them I did the other day where I did a joke and then completely realized halfway through the joke, there's like 4 setups on other jokes that don't make sense now because I didn't do the other joke. So it's like, well, I can't go into that joke because when I say it, they're all going to look at me like, and why is that funny? Well, you'd heard the other joke.
This is a throwback, not thrown back.
Yeah. You'd heard the other joke. You should have been in my last show. You would have heard it.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like a serial show. You have to go to each show to catch up. You know,
you miss one,
you're screwed.
Start stalking Brandon, and then you'll get it.
I've always wanted a stalker.
Okay, so we're actually here to talk about not the evolution of speech and recording.
But we have so much fun with that.
I know. We are going to be watching a movie, obviously. I'm going to share it on the screen right now. So
I do have to say, I think we end up having more conversations besides the movie when we do these together. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Is that showing up on your...
It is.
Okay.
I am surprised there's not a room, though.
Not a room.
Because we had a theme going. Oh, yeah.
We did. We did have a room theme going.
We had a room theme going.
But I actually chose this movie because I saw it got recommended on, you know how you can have those search aggregate things on for news? Mm-hmm. I only read the title and it said, you have to watch this sleeper hit, Soft and Quiet. So I went and looked at the cover and I was like, well, maybe Brandon will do that with me.
But I do have to ask, because I know I didn't do it and normally Kevin does. Did you go to Does the Dog Die?
I didn't.
Okay.
I did not. Although I did watch a movie the other day. And the last one that we watched, Calibre, there was a dog that died. And that was my fault. I chose that movie and I did not look it up. I was very sad. But I didn't get emotionally invested in the dog other than it was a dog. Okay, so the movie we're watching is called Soft and Quiet. Mm-hmm. And it is a Blumhouse movie, which I like Blumhouse movies.
I do too.
I know that we've mentioned it time and time again. They really have burst onto the horror scene in all the right ways.
They have. Which is good. I mean, it's one of those things they have amazingly where all of a sudden they were kind of one of those ones that you really hadn't heard a whole lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they just kind of, here we are.
Yeah. So do you want me to explain the cover?
Yes, because I'm not sure how to explain that.
Okay. So let's start with there are 2 quotes on the top part of the cover. It says, "The most terrifying film of the year" by IndieWire, which is a pretty reputable source. "A provocative, timely American nightmare" by The Film Stage. And the whole cover itself is very much like clouds with a gray and orange and yellows. And then superimposed on top of the clouds is the profile of a woman. She has her mouth open. And I say profile because you could tell it's a woman. You can see her eyes faintly. But everything that's filled in that shows her is all white and black clouds. Mm-hmm. Cloudy, almost like if you drop ink in water. So it's a very contrasting cover. And it's called Soft and Quiet, and it was part of South by Southwest's 2022 Film Festival, which is a huge film festival that's down, I think, in Texas, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. South by Southwest is in Texas. So,
yeah, which makes sense.
It kind of does.
Yeah. And so I'm going to zoom in and see if I can read any of the actors or actresses in this.
Well, one thing I noticed about it is, like, if you look at it, the outside of her, I mean, my first thought was just kind of like the way she's outlined. It reminds me of like the old Alfred Hitchcock.
Ooh, yeah.
Where it was white, but with her, it's like filled up with, you know, the darkness of the clouds. It's like the outside is color, but the inside
it's just black,
all
and
black and white, which kind of makes me wonder if this is going to be one of those ones where there's flashbacks.
Ooh.
Where the flashbacks are going to be about her might be in a black and white, because you see that sometimes as an artistic style where, you know, the movie's color, but when they do a flashback, all of a sudden it's a black and white to show you, like, you know, we're in a flashback, or they at least do like a different kind of color scheme to make it, you know, you're in that flashback.
I actually really prefer when movies do that. The only time that I haven't really recently needed that was when I watched Queen Charlotte, because the flashback and flash forward had different actors because of the time gap. Mm-hmm. So it's very obvious the difference. Okay, so it says that the actors are Stephanie Estes and Olivia Lucardi. There's something with a Miles Ross, Lindsay Armstrong. Really, the only thing I recognize on there is only person I recognize is Jason Blum, which is the head of Blumhouse.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is it says it's a second grade teacher production.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of.
Is
but really, it only seems like the two names are the only ones they're showing as actors. The other ones seem like they're.
Yeah, it like all seems
crew.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry if I keep looking left. I have my iPad with the picture on
totally
it on the
fine.
Other side. That's why I'm
Okay.
I forget that you do video, so I'm like, wait a minute. Why they're all like, why is he looking over there?
At least your beard is well kept.
Yeah, I try. It's all gray though. That's the problem.
It's not all gray.
It's getting there.
Okay, so you think it's going to have flashbacks. What else? What else are you assuming about this movie?
I don't know, and that's the crazy one about this. I mean, it's because there's not a lot to this picture. I mean, it's just the it looks like they're going to be out in the wilderness. I'm assuming they might be cold because it looks like some of the clouds, the colored part of the clouds, are coming out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The way they did it. So I mean, this one's got me where I'm like. I mean, it says a provocative, timely American nightmare. I mean, so I'm guessing it's a horror movie.
Well, yes.
Most terrifying film of the year. I mean, Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horror movie of some sort, but I'm guessing ghosts is where I'm thinking. I'm thinking ghost or something like that. Like maybe one of those things where, I mean, because I can see the woods in the background. So it looks like there's woods and there's trees back there. Maybe, or that just might be almost painting. I don't know. It's hard to tell on that, but it's that's what I think that's got me so intrigued on this one, because it's really hard to tell what I'm looking at, because then I zoom in on the picture that I think is trees, and then I'm like, I think that just might be paint, but I think they're going to be, it's a haunted like cabin out in the woods. Maybe they go camping and go out into the woods, you know, and they start seeing ghosts, or there's some kind of haunting of some way. Maybe like, you know, the mother or something like that gets possessed.
Okay.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know.
it's all a guessing game. I mean,
but it's just kind of one of those things. And I love listening to you guys, because all the time I'm like, well, listen to you guys guess. And now I'm like, I get it now. I see why it's so tough sometimes to look this like, you know, and then I start throwing in movies I just saw, because I just saw Evil Dead. And I'm like,
I was
going to say,
that sounds like Evil Dead Rises.
And I'm like, wait a minute, that's I'm starting to really just explain Evil Dead now. I mean,
I totally, because Kevin and I went and saw it too in the theater. And I was like, that sounds like Evil Dead Rise.
It does.
I don't think there's a ton to figure out based on the images of the cover. So I think that I'm going to go more with the quotes that they did, which is a timely, terrifying nightmare. So in my opinion, timeliness and ladies to me either speaks to like the Me Too movement, or it speaks to Crazy Karens. So I'm going to go with Crazy Karen next door neighbor that is off her rocker totally mental, tries to kill the neighbor, and it's all about how she succeeds and then just pretends to be like this perfect cul-de-sac HOA person, and ends up that she gets haunted by the next door neighbor that she killed.
I could see that.
And then it's like a psychological torture kind of situation.
So I can see that. And that's kind of one of the things, like, once you start going that way and I'm looking at like the provocative, timely, I mean, in seeing her, I mean, now I'm starting to, you know, because now I'm just putting other movies together, is maybe it's one of those, like, it's two women, you know, who love her.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
That are out, you know, whatever, or maybe not even lovers. It's something kind of like, you know, Misery, where, you know, she has her trapped out in the woods in this cabin, and it's the whole psychological horror of what she's doing to her to make her stay. I mean, you know, I mean, I could see that being an amazing movie, making that whole twist of, you know, two women doing this and all that kind of stuff. And I could see that as a timely, because, I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, we're seeing more and more where it used to be taboo to see that, like, same sex marriage, whatever, in a movie like that. But I could see that in this, where it would be, you know, anytime in the 80s or 90s when you got something like that, it was an all sexy thing. And it's like, no, this isn't. This is about just two people. And I mean, that timely of, you know, we've seen the movies where the two women can be just totally evil to each other. Where in this one, it's maybe that's what it is. It's going to be that timely of, we're going to show like how that can be, you know, turned into an entire just insane nightmare of the physical and emotional torture that they could do to each other.
Yeah. It's going to be, I'm excited. I feel like I'm more excited now that we're kind of coming up with these theories than.
This is the thing that scares me, though, is come up with these theories. And I'm like, that would be an amazing movie. I feel like Kevin all the time when I'm on here, like he's writing out the script to a movie. And I'm just like, you should just be writing this down and filming the damn movie. I'll come and, like, you know, be an extra. I mean, I'll play a dead body or something, because that's about all I'm good at acting as. But I mean, you know, that's kind of where I'm like, they're coming up with these amazing ideas that you watch the movie and you're like, this is nothing like I expected. I kind of want the movie I was just talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So. I did think one time about going back and I do re-listen to our episodes occasionally, especially the ones that I remember really enjoying talking about.
Yeah.
And like writing down all of our ideas and be like, Kevin, just could you please just write this?
There's some good ones. There's a couple. I'm like, I would watch that movie. I would watch that movie.
And he's done a ton of like script writing challenges. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, he knows the format. He knows how to do it.
Oh, yeah. I would watch some of the ideas he came up with. So,
yeah. Okay. People that are listening, if you want Kevin to write a movie, nudge him, like start tweeting at him. Well, maybe not Twitter, because you never know what the fuck's going to happen with that.
Who knows
with Twitter? Place. But Facebook or Instagram or even TikTok.
I've almost gotten rid of Twitter, because the only thing that keeps me on there right now is the Iron Sheik, because he's freaking cracks me up.
Oh, but I don't know who that is.
The Iron Sheik, he was a wrestler back in the 80s and 90s. Pretty much every tweet he has is just some new way of telling people to go fuck themselves. It's amazing. I love it. But then the other problem I have is half the like notifications I get is just random bots like showing me boobs, and I'm like,
see, mine show me like crazy news articles, and I'm like, why the fuck are you showing me news articles? If I just keep
trying to wonder, like, what did I follow on Twitter that made you think I want porn on my Twitter? Yeah. It's like Housewives.
Not on my main Twitter, bitches.
Like Lonely Housewives. I'm like, I have one of those at home. What are you talking about? Why do I need them on Twitter?
All right, Brandon, is there anything else you want to say about this movie cover?
No, I mean, I'm totally curious on what it is, though. I mean, watching it now, I'm like, oh, now I've got all the crazy ideas of what I want it to be. Because the one thing that gets me is the fact that it only shows two names.
Right.
On the cast.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder, is it going to be one of those ones where it really is just those two people and like nobody else?
Kind of like that one movie with Ryan Reynolds when he was
in the buried. Casket. Yeah, buried. Yeah,
that's what it was.
That was I love Ryan Reynolds, and he is my like hall pass, but that movie was crap.
Yeah, I never watched it because I think you told me that, and then I was like, if Brandon didn't like it, I'm not watching it.
And I mean, like I said, I mean, he's my hall pass. I mean, you know, it's one of those, I don't care what you say about it, that is a sexy man.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. He is not my hall pass. I only have two people on my hall pass list. One for each gender. One is Chris Evans and the other is Kat Dennings. And oh, well. Yeah, come on. So
I'm glad to know we have the same taste because yeah. Chris Evans, he's up there, but I mean, he's no Ryan Reynolds to me, but I mean, Kat Dennings, hello.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, and then of
cute,
course,
feisty and smart as hell. I mean,
yeah. And shaped like an hourglass. I mean, yeah, come on.
But I mean, if you listen to her interviews, stuff like that, feisty as hell and smart as can be. It's one of those things I always told everyone, looks go so far, but after you're done, you know, I mean, after your 2 minutes, you got to have something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Brandon, on that note, should we go watch a movie?
We should. Let's go watch a movie.
And we're back, having just watched Soft and Quiet, a Blumhouse production. We watched it on Netflix, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay. So first thing I want to do is talk about the trivia, because I think that it's kind of important. So for the first piece that I thought was interesting, there were only three pieces. First piece was that this movie was shot in 4 days.
I believe it.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to mention is that this movie, Jason Blum, who's the head of Blumhouse Productions, saw it and couldn't get it out of his mind. So he brought it under the umbrella of Blumhouse, which I thought was very interesting. And if you can hear my puppy in the background barking, I super apologize. The last piece of trivia was that this was shot as though it was in real time. So it wasn't a continuous take. However, they did edit it to look like it was a continuous take, which I actually thought was really cool. And whoever edited it did an excellent job because there I was looking out for, as soon as the movie started and it's the camera started panning with what was her name? Emily, the lead Emily, and following her around. I was like, oh shit, are they going to do this as though it was one continuous? And yes, it is lined up as though the whole movie is the length in which the whole situation happens, which I thought was very interesting because that can be done really poorly. But I feel like they pulled it off.
Yeah.
There was only one part that I did not actually feel was well done. Do you know what that part is? And it was at the very beginning.
I'm not. There's two right there. The one, the interaction with the kid, it was okay. There was kind of a little bit weird there. But then later on, once you find out the rest of the story, you're like, okay, that makes sense now.
Yes.
I think it was more the interaction with. For me, that was weird was the first interaction with the new girl.
Okay. Yeah. Leslie.
Leslie. That the interaction that they had there just seemed really.
Yeah. Volatile.
Yeah. It was something weird in their interaction. Like,
Okay. You want me to tell you what okay. So the very first scene is Emily, who is like this tall, blonde, skinny, like she pees on a pregnancy test in the school bathroom because she's a teacher at an elementary school. And she sits there, looks at the test for 3 seconds and then starts crying. And I'm like, no, pregnancy tests take 2 minutes before you can know if they're positive or negative. But
that one was kind of quick too. Yeah, I remember because I thought it was quick, but you could see for a second where she's like, come on, come on.
Yeah.
But even then that was only like 20 seconds.
Yeah, it was not.
Like, come on, come on, come on. And then it was like, yeah, that would take longer.
Yeah.
So,
how did you feel about the overall, not necessarily the driving factors of the movie, but the production of it?
The production, the filmography, like you said, whoever edited this was genius. I mean, great editing. The filmography, everything, the way it was done was brilliant. I thought I loved the way it was filmed. I loved the idea of the, you know, as it happened. Because you did get that feel like they were just going from one spot to another and you were just following them. You know, and it was just an evening in the life of these people. We'll get into the people in a minute. But I mean, I thought that part of it was brilliant. I thought they did a great job at that.
Agreed. Also, I mean, for these people, not even to, but I honestly didn't recognize any of the actors in the movie. I mean, they were very unknown, which actually I thought was pretty good for what the content of the movie was, because I think if I would have seen them in anything else, it would have taken me out of the horrific nature of this movie. Now, I feel like I was kind of partially right in my, what I thought the movie was going to be about, because I said it was going to be about two Karens. And I feel like this was the antithesis of Karen culture.
This was a pack of Karens.
It was a pack of Karens.
Which is a phrase I never thought I would say, but this was a pack of Karens. It was a pack.
I would even go far as to say a murder of Karens.
Yes, there we go. That's even better, a murder. Yes,
yeah. Yes. So this was not a horror. It was not supernatural horror.
No.
It was like real life horror. Yes. It definitely was the phrase, the American horror. It was very timely. It was not the Me Too movement. Although there was definitely some how do I want to say it? There was some, Emily was very much like, her brother got put in jail for rape. Yes. And of course he didn't do it. Okay. So we're following Emily, who is this elementary school teacher.
Which, wow.
Yeah. And it was right off the bat, something was wrong with her, because
something was off.
She like side-eyed the janitor at the school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck did the janitor do? Like, are you afraid she's going to find the pregnancy test? You know,
that's what I thought too. Yeah. I mean, she's going to find the pregnancy test. She's going to tell someone.
Yeah. And she was, we find out, like, no, I don't want to.
Well, and that's the whole thing, like with the little kid, when all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, go stand up for yourself. And you tell that janitor that she shouldn't be mopping when you're still here, because you could slip and fall.
Which
and
we never saw. Yeah. What the fuck?
You're like, what? That's their job, is to freaking mop. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and then she tells the mom, like, yeah, I talked to him and had him stand up for himself because of this. And you're just like, something's not right with this chick.
Yeah. And she's carrying this pie because she's made it clear that she's heading to this meeting with a bunch of other ladies, which, you know, elementary school teacher, she's writing a children's book. She shares it with the little kid, but you get whiteout noise, so you don't hear the actual content of the children's book.
I actually had to rewind it at that because I'm like, what did he say? And then I'm like, they whited it. They gave you white noise.
Yeah, because I guarantee that book had to do with that pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's showing the little kid the pie, but we don't see the pie. So I'm like, what the fuck is this pie? Is it like from The Help, you know, where she makes that bitchy lady a shit pie? No. No. We find out. So we're walking along this. Emily's, the little kid's been picked up by the mom. Emily is walking down this kind of woodsy path, runs into a lady named Leslie, who is the new worker at the local store that their friend Kim runs. Mm-hmm. And they introduce themselves, blah, blah, blah. And then they go into this church.
But it's very angry. Like, neither one of them was, I mean, they were like, so wait, she was like, hey, what are you doing here?
Which, who are you? Now, when I get now, because we know the content of the meeting, and you don't want just random people coming into that because.
Yeah, because it was just so weird. She's like, so angry. And you're like, what the hell? What?
Chill.
And she's
out.
Like, oh, so and so invited me. I'm, okay. And then all of a sudden they're like best friends, and you're like,
So. It's definitely not a book club at this point. We're going, what is this? And so we're following them into this church, up into the upper room where they have like get-togethers or whatever. There's food everywhere. There's like suburban housewife moms. There's, I mean, there's several of them, like seven. And when they first walk in,
you do get that, like you said, that whole book club vibe.
Yes.
Like they're coming in, they're going like, they're going to talk about the newest book.
Yeah. No. So Emily sets down her pie and takes the aluminum foil off the top.
And that's when you know it's all going to go bad.
And that is, I mean, the way that my mind just was like, oh, fuck. And then I was like, that can't be right. Is that actually a swastika cut into that pie?
Yeah.
I even wrote it in my notes. I was like, swastika on the pie?
And that's when me and Amber both kind of looked at each other and said, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, I was sitting watching this alone and I'm like, I don't even know what, and it was in the middle of the day, so I couldn't text you because you were working.
That's what I texted you the first time, because I saw the pie and then I'm like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to watch it tomorrow. And I'm like, oh shit. It's like, I don't, well, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to ruin it, but oh, wow.
So the ladies are all laughing as Emily is like serving out this pie where, you know, they're all complimenting her and they're like, this is so funny. Ha ha ha.
And well, and that's kind of one of those things at first. I'm kind of like, okay, maybe it was some weird inside joke we're going to find out about.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And that's why they're kind of laughing about it. And then you're like, no.
Nope. Mm-mm. Which actually, I thought they did a really good job in serving the pie, because that Emily actor, that's the only time I thought she couldn't act was when she was cutting that pie. It was a fucking mess.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, I'm going to judge the whole characters for a whole lot of other things, but that was the start of the downhill, you know?
Yeah.
So they start talking about how they start sharing stories about how they've been, you know, they're victims of not, one didn't get promoted because a lady from Columbia got the job instead of her. And all these poor me sob stories about how minorities have taken what was theirs and why should they have so much. And oh my God, it was just.
And I'll say this. They don't use the words minorities. I'm just going to.
No.
Like, that's when you knew it was going to be bad. You saw the swastika, then they started talking and you're like, okay, I've heard like four slurs in the last sentence.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I even texted you and I was like, this movie makes my tummy hurt. And it was, it was at the very start at that book club, which was not a book club, by the way, because it pans. And of course, they're well organized. Yes. So they have a whiteboard and on the whiteboard says Daughters of the Aryan Nation.
Yes.
And then they start listing off like next steps for themselves and how they need to start a newsletter, but also don't record anything because, but it's our right. And oh my God, the way that they
bring the newsletter, you want to make sure in the newsletter you're not saying anything outright.
Yeah. And that's when they said the title about they need to be soft and quiet when they're doing this newsletter. And I was like, ooh, that's insidious. I even think I wrote insidious on here somewhere.
I'm just like, oh. You feel bad almost for like having any heritage that has any, like, you know, I'm, you know, part German, English, Welsh. I mean, I'm like white as white can be. And even I was like, this is
if somebody watches this movie and sympathizes with those women,
yeah.
Don't listen to this podcast because it's not for you, honey.
It's not. It's not.
I'm not going to be on these white ladies' side at all.
Oh, no.
There's only one line in this whole movie where I was like, okay, yeah, I agree with this. And that's when one of the ladies, as they're eating like a donut or something, they're like, butter, am I right?
Yeah.
Everything else? Oh, God. Oh my God.
And the bad part, this is just like that starting. And I mean, me and Amber at this point are both like, what in the fuck did Breed make us watch?
Yeah. Okay. So that was one of the things. Cause it's been 2 days since I watched this movie and it's three for you. It's been creeping in my mind. I get why Jason Blum bought this movie to distribute it because it it sits with you. It makes it, I mean, you feel it in your tummy, in your brain. You're like, I do not want to be like these ladies. No. This is, you know, oh God. And, but I also, this is one of those things that really makes me glad that I do buy its cover, because I would have never watched this movie. This is not, this is not a movie that I would read the summary and put this on, because all of this made me extremely uncomfortable.
Well, even, you know, because after I watched it, of course, I went and looked at the summary and all that stuff, and it's like, you know. And really, when I was looking it up on Netflix so I could watch it and everything, and I saw the summary, and it's like, oh, you know, a school teacher, whatever, meets, runs into somebody else she knows after a meeting or whatever, and, you know, whatever ensues. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
That gives no, that is the worst explanation. I mean, there is so much more to this movie than just that.
But
the mob mentality. Wow.
Yeah, that is, yeah. So they're sitting in this group of these seven women, and the pastor of the church, who it's clearly like his day off. He's not, he's just in flannel and a cap. Yep. He calls Emily out to the hallway and said, says, I need you to leave right now. All of you need to get up and go, and I won't say anything and I won't report you. So he knows. He now knows like what they're all about, and he's like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want you in my church.
And I think what it was, I think it was one of those, it was just like, she's like, oh, he, me and a group of women want to meet and have this meeting or whatever. And I don't think he knew.
Oh,
I
no.
He was outside and he heard what they were talking about and like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, no. And I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's Daughters for Aryan Unity.
There we go again.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. So he says, get the fuck out of here. Emily says, okay, they want us to clear out. You know, she comes back in and doesn't relay the fact that the pastor had a problem with her.
Nope.
And what they were doing. And they're like, well, should we clean up? Which, yeah, it's your fucking mess. And she goes, oh, no, they have people for that. Oh, God. Okay. So half of the group breaks off and says, hey, I got to get home to my kids, blah, blah, blah. So at this point, it's Leslie, it's Emily, it's Marjorie and Kim. And Kim is driving the minivan to her store because they want to pick up more wine. And Emily has called Craig, who's her husband, who she just dotes on and thinks he's like the perfect man. And just talks about how great he is and how strong he is and all this stuff, which does have a point later, because it's just blows my mind how she treats him.
Oh, yeah.
So they go into Kim's store, which is closed at this point, which is fine. Like, you're a small business. You can be closed when you want to. And Emily goes straight for the wine rack. But two ladies of ethnic heritage come in and they're like, hey, we just want to get some wine. Leslie, who's crazy, crazy lady.
Like cray, cray, cray.
Yeah. Which we find out at some point, oh, she's been in prison.
And enjoyed it.
And enjoyed it.
Sure that was her. She said she'd been in prison and liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you guys need to get the hell out of here. We're not open right now. And I mean, these two ladies are not, they're not being confrontational or anything. They're just like, hey, I've had a long day. Can I grab a bottle of wine? And instead of just saying, hey, no, we're closed, Leslie goes off on them. And Emily sees them and backs around the wine counter. And you're like, why is she scared of these two ladies? Come to find out, one of them's the one that got raped by her brother. And I think it was not Lily. Lily was the, but regardless,
It was the older one, I think, not the younger one.
Anne, the older one. And, you know, they start calling them dykes and lesbos and a whole bunch of other slurs. And they're like, no, we're sisters. And they still are not, you know. And so it gets really confrontational.
It does. Like, and one of them even like using the slurs, one of them is like, what are you anyway?
Yes.
Like, you know, it's just like, wow.
And doesn't, I think Anne says, I'm a human being or yeah. something like that.
Something like that. Just say like, yeah, yeah.
Just be like, you're fucking crazy. So they, Craig shows up and that's when they took the leave of it. So they were able to get out of there.
Before they even left too, it's like, you know, she's like, whatever, I'll buy your most expensive wine. I just want wine because it's been a long day. And she's like, well, whatever. And then she's like, fine, we'll just leave. Then the cray cray one.
Mm-hmm. Leslie.
I always forget her. Leslie is like, nope, you said you were going to buy wine. And the most expensive. So, and then they end up like making her buy like a bottle of wine for like $300.
Yeah. Which she had cash for. So then they called her a whore because whores or drug dealers have that much cash on them. Yeah. Not like hardworking like, people.
Waitresses, you know, is what she says. So, because she's a waitress, waitresses make tips. So, and it's just like, it all goes bad. And then all of a sudden, you said Craig shows up, the girls leave, and they're like, okay. And you think, okay, well, that was weird.
Yeah. And then that's when you find out that she's the one that Emily's brother's in jail. Emily just is like crying. Leslie gets hyped up when she finds this out and is like, do you know where that bitch lives? Mm-hmm. And this is what starts the downward spiral of them going to Anne's house.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, it's that whole mob mentality. It's like, because you get that one person who Emily is like the one that seems she's like in charge, but really it's Leslie.
Yeah.
Leslie's the one that's like just egging them on like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just really pushing their whole like white power crap.
What you find out is because she was, when she was in prison, she got in with the Aryan Nation there and they took care of her. Yeah. And so she's like trying to, I assume she's trying to create that same camaraderie. Yeah. They go to the house, which they drive to the house, which once again, I know this sounds like totally out left field. They did an excellent job filming that.
Yeah.
I mean, you felt like you were in the van with them. And Kim's like, I have kids. We can't do anything too bad. Craig is like, we can't do this. This is wrong. And Emily pulls them to the side before they get in the van. And she's like, you've got to quit being a little pussy ass bitch. Oh, yeah. And she slaps him and she like totally degrades him, which is totally the opposite of what she was hyping him about earlier.
Yep.
And I'm like, whoa, that just blew my mind.
Yeah. Like she hypes him up about this, like great, whatever. But then when she talks to him, she's like, you're a bitch, you know, you're being a pussy, stop being a pussy, you know, and just totally degrades him. And I'm like, there is no way that I would allow someone to talk to me like that. Especially someone that's supposed to be my wife. I'm like,
exactly. And just the, it was, oh God, it made me, like I said, this, I think my caption for this movie would be, makes Bree's tummy hurt. Yeah.
Well, and then he's the one that's actually trying to be smart. He's like,
yeah.
They're not going to be there for whatever reason. I can't remember what they said, but why they knew they weren't going to be there, but they weren't going to be there. No one's home. And he's like, you have 5 minutes.
Yep. That's it. 5 minutes. You're in and out and then we're gone because there's only one road up to this house that's got a lake view. And of course, they're like complaining. How did she get this house? How can she afford this? This is bullshit. I can't even afford this. I work so hard, blah, blah, blah. She has everything and she's just a minority, which of course they didn't say that. They said,
they use other words.
Yeah,
their words.
But I'm not going to say that.
Our vocal cords don't allow us to say because we have respect.
You know, we're human beings.
Yes, and we're human beings. So yeah, but they make a lot of comments about that. But then they like go to the house and all they're going to do is like, they were going to take her passport.
Yeah, and burn it. Yeah. But okay, and let me ask you this. How did you feel about their interactions with her dog? So the dog's name was Willie. And it was like this little Chihuahua Pomeranian thingy.
I was in some ways a little creeped out at points because like when she picks up the dog like it was a baby and she's all like cuddling with the dog and doing all sorts of stuff. And you're like, that's like the only like, I mean, redeeming factor that Emily, or it was Emily, right?
Yeah.
That she had was her interaction with that dog. She was so nice to the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, she did put it in a cupboard, but
yeah,
she stopped and went back to let it back out.
Yeah.
As they left.
I think that was a really big point and driving home how disconnected they were, because they treated the dog with more respect than the owners.
Yes.
They worried more and cared more about the dog and animal.
I didn't make sure to message you and tell you that the dog does, because that was the one thing. The second they put it in the cupboard, and I'm like, oh shit.
You did. Thank you, and appreciate that. But everybody that listens to this podcast, or for those that haven't listened to us before, I love dogs. I love them. I have three of them now. God damn it. And if a dog dies in a movie, I'm devastated. Like, however, this really bothered me, just that I have no respect for human life if it's not the kind of human life that I agree with, which sounds bad because I'm clearly not agreeing with Emily and the girls, but in my opinion, is totally different. But the way that they just babied this dog and treated it so nice, and all the while they're destroying the owner's home, they're trying to get rid of her passport, you know, trying to get rid of her ID so she can't. It was very clear, like, they were trying to see if she was a true American, that kind of stuff. And Craig at this point is like, get the fuck out of here.
It's been five minutes. We gotta go.
Yeah, let's go. And all this while, like, Marjorie's playing on the piano, like, they're drinking stuff. They're leaving their fucking fingerprints and DNA everywhere. I'm sitting there writing, "You're fucking idiots," on my notepad. And Anne and Lily come home early.
Yeah. And at first they kind of hide, like, oh shit, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
And then it just all goes to shit.
Yeah.
Because they grab Anne first, right?
No, Lily's the one. No, yes, you're right. Yeah. Anne comes
in
first.
Anne comes in first. And then they grab her, like, start holding her down. And then Craig's like, I'm done. He's like, nope, I ain't doing this shit. This is too far. I'm not being involved with this. And then he goes to leave. And then he finds Lily. And then he's like, oh, shit.
Shit. And he drags her inside. And he's like, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Do what they want to do. You know, because he's like mentally out of this. He's not down for it at all. However, it makes me wonder if Emily had been mentally abusing him, or even physically abusing him, up until this point, because he's more afraid of her than he is of the consequences of what Emily, Marjorie, Leslie, and Kim are doing. Yeah. And they get
before he just leaves.
Yeah. We never see him again.
He's like, I'm not involved in this. And he walks away.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because, like, it was in a pretty remote area. So he's going to have to, like, walk down a big ass hill and then on a 2-lane road. Like, he's going to be seen.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's just one of those things. I think he's just like, nope, I don't know what these crazy ladies are going to do. I don't want to be any part of this. He's like, I'm just out.
Yeah. I'm really hesitant to talk about the rest of this movie, because there's a lot that happens.
A lot.
But at the same time, because I'm going to recommend people watch this, I don't want to give more than that away. How do you feel about that? What do you?
I agree, because, I mean, we get into the rest of it. I mean, we're kind of to that point. The rest of it starts to get...
goes off the rails.
It goes way off the rails. The one thing I do have to say, though, is it left you wanting more, in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, we kind of talked about this over Messenger. Like, I didn't like the way it ended, because I was like, to me, from watching horror movies all my life, that's like the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, everything that happened, that's like the first 15 minutes. 20 minutes of the movie, and that's the start, that's the origin story.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of ends there. Like, when it ended, I'm like, wait, what?
I think that's one of the reasons why it stuck with me so long, because it did end on that note. And it feels unfinished. It feels like the start of another movie, but you know it's not, because you know that whatever happens next is not going to be an easy road. It's not going to be, it's not going to be an instant satisfaction thing. And you know, from the way that this movie was paced, that if there was a follow-up or if they did anything more, that it was going to be very realistic to how it would actually go in real life. It's not going to be that, oh my God, a hero comes in and saves everything. It's going to be, it's going to be gross and gritty and not fair. And it left me, it made my tummy hurt, made me very uncomfortable. And I think that that was the purpose of this movie, to make you feel uncomfortable, to self-reflect and have those conversations with yourself, and to see the heightened Karen-ness, to see, you know, how bad, you know, you see those TikTok videos or the reels of Karen's gone wild, and this is just that on steroids. And
oh, it is. It's that mob mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think the one thing that really got me on this too was we've seen similar to this type of movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's always a group of young men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost always, sometimes older, but normally young men.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've really seen a movie to this level of mob mentality, insanity, of just feeding off each other,
mm-hmm.
of the, oh crap, now that we got to keep going because we started this.
Yep.
Kind of mentality, where there's one person like egging it on and then another person that thinks they're in control, but they're losing it and fighting, and it goes insane,
mm-hmm.
and keeps taking like every wrong twist it could. It does.
Yep.
You know, but it's with middle-aged women.
Middle-aged white women.
Yeah.
That are pillars of their community.
Yeah.
Essentially. I
mean, you know, one of them's, you know, runs the local store.
Yep.
You know, one's a kindergarten teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one of them, another one works at the store, and I don't remember what the last Marjorie, I don't remember what her.
I think she worked at like an office type building position.
But I mean, it was a smaller town, but these were people that were like the they weren't going to be like, you would expect this kind of thing to happen from it. And I know it sounds bad to say this, like everyone coming out of a trailer park, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of movie you would think to see this kind of mob mentality and reaction from, not a bunch of people, which I mean, it doesn't actually show them in like their ritzy houses or whatever, but you get that feeling from them.
Yeah, that they definitely have this air of, like, even though a lot of them complain about how much money they don't make, like, they still, I mean, they all have cars, they all have, they're dressed nicely.
Yes.
I think the other thing that really threw me, that I think solidified Leslie's, like, off her rockerness, was the fact that she kept telling Emily, who's, like, the perfect Aryan specimen, asking her to model her clothing line. And that even through the hellacious stuff that happens, she's like, yeah, you're going to be in my clothing line. Yeah, this, that, and the other thing. Like, you're going to model it. You're going to be on the website, blah, blah, blah. Which she's wearing a jacket that has a German phrase on it throughout the whole thing. And I tried to Google it. It was Liebes. I'm going to murder it. I'm not. I have no German experience. Liebeszuhassen, which when I Googled it, it said to hate love. But... or hate to love, love to hate, I don't know. I mean, obviously, Google Translate is, you know, sus.
Yeah. It is.
But I just the fact that, you know, through all the crazy stuff that they do, Emily's main focus is getting, or Leslie's main focus is getting Emily to model clothing for her.
Yeah. And I mean, even like to the point of when it's at the peak of everything gone bad, like, and they're, you know, trying to cover it up. She's mm-hmm. still like, oh, when we're done with this, you know, and we're going to do this and that, and then you're going to model clothes for me. And it's like, that's what you're thinking about right now?
That's what you're thinking about? I'm trying to check my notes to see if there's anything that won't give the ending away that we can still talk about. Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those ones that I have a feeling, and this is my thoughts. If we were to explain this to someone, they're like, there's no way in hell I'm watching this.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But I'll be honest, within 5 minutes of me finishing watching it, I'm like, I would never recommend this to anyone. This is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
3 days later, mm-hmm. go watch this.
Yes. Yeah. And that's for me. Who always says, I hate movies where everybody makes bad decisions. This was literally one bad decision after another. It made me very uncomfortable. But I thought it was a movie that should be watched. You will not love it. It will not be your favorite movie. There was no supernatural element, which made me sad. I think that it was a true horror story. It scared me more than most scary movies, just because I could see this happening in real life.
And that was just it too. It's one of those, I could see this happening, where something like this, it just starts, as you said, a small little prank.
Yep.
I mean, which really not a small little prank. They broke into somebody's house and they were going to steal it. But smallish.
Yeah.
You know.
Only a minor felony. Yeah,
a minor felony that turns into, like, what in the hell did you just do?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the human nature of it that's just horrific.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you can think about talking about without spoiling the movie?
Not without spoiling it and making, like, yeah. I mean, there are a couple graphic scenes where you're like, oh, my God.
Yes.
But it's one of those things, they did really well in this too, and I always love it when they do this in movies. There's nothing like, it's not graphic in the way of like you see something like, oh my God, I can't believe they showed that. They do something that you can see the motion of what they're doing, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. It's the implication of it.
Yes. It's the implication. You know what's happening, but they're not going to show you what's happening.
Yeah.
But they're going to make sure that you know what they're doing. And you're like,
How would you change the cover of this movie? Because I feel like it did not fit it at all.
No, not at all. I honestly, there was a secondary cover that I saw.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up real quick.
That was it. Oh, I think it was Emily and Leslie yelling at each other.
Oh, I think I saw that when I was trying to download the cover.
Yeah. And it was a second. That one was closer. I could see something more like that where they're yelling at each other and maybe like. Because, yeah, the one that they gave us didn't make any sense. Like you're watching the movie going, what?
Here, yeah. Showing it on my screen. Yes, it's Emily and Leslie yelling at each other.
Yep. And that one is a lot closer. I think that I'm okay with that one because it's like soft and quiet, but it's two people yelling at each other. Yeah. It's like there's nothing soft and quiet about that.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe something like the pie in the background.
Okay.
Like, between them.
Yeah.
But not uncovered.
Yes. Okay.
Like, you can see it, but you don't know what it is.
Okay. That is totally where my mind went because I was thinking about it last night as I was falling asleep. And I would do the cover having Emily and Leslie yelling at each other, like that secondary cover. But underneath them, I'd have the pie where you could see the top of, like it covered in foil, and just the foil tipped back just a little bit. So you only saw one leg and you're like, what's on the pie?
And see, I think either that or like after she cut it. And it was so like she cut it so badly.
It was bad.
It's like
I like out of all the movie. That's like what it's like when you see those pictures where they
take the pie and just cut a square out of the middle.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, I mean, it was you.
Almost that bad. But like that with like, you know, but like one leg, but then the pie is like, you know, partly gone, and you're like, well, you can tell that there was something on it.
Yeah,
like, but you can't tell exactly what.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, what's on the pie?
Also, can we talk for just a second about the fact that a tiny little grocery store, mom and pop grocery store, had a $300 bottle of wine?
Well, see, that's the one thing I was wondering is, was it really a $300 bottle of wine, or did she just say that?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And I wasn't sure because I was thinking the same thing. What little?
Yeah. And also it was like right out front and not on. I mean, it was just kind of hanging out.
I mean, if it was a $300 bottle of wine, you'd think that would be behind the counter or something.
Yeah.
Most little stores like that, they have box wine.
Yeah.
Not even in a bottle.
I was like, ooh, this must be a really alcoholic town to have a $300 bottle of wine in their mom and pop shop. Okay, so is there anything else you want to say about this movie, Brandon?
Not that I can think of. Just like I said, though, go watch it. I mean, it's one of those movies you're gonna feel uncomfortable. You're gonna be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
And I will say this: if you don't feel uncomfortable about it, you're listening to the wrong podcast because you should feel uncomfortable. This is one of those movies because, like you said, what made me feel the most uncomfortable was one that. What they're talking about and the racial slurs and everything like that. I'm like, oh, you know, that part obviously, but it also makes you uncomfortable because you, like you said, I could see this happening, especially with the way that the country is and the world is right now. I mean, I could definitely see this happening.
Well, in one of your podcasts that you do, Down the Rabbit Hole, I'm sure you've talked about sensitive subjects like this before. Right. And you've probably dealt with people on the internet that...
A little bit, because every once in a while we'll get people that are like, it's like, I like conspiracy theories, but I'm like I've said, I don't call myself a conspiracy theorist because most of them I'm like, this is completely stupid.
Yeah.
You know, we find the facts and say, okay, this is the facts that are actually behind this.
Yeah.
How the hell they got over here, I have no idea. You know, it's like people like, oh, you're like Alex Jones. No, that guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I had someone the other day that said, you know, go down the rabbit hole. And they're like, oh, like you're into QAnon. And I said, rabbit hole, not shit. Well, I mean.
Okay, so since we're talking about your podcast, tell us more about where we can find you.
You can find me on Instagram. That's usually what I use most of the time. I kind of go on Facebook, but it's gone. If you want to really find me, Instagram's a place to be. It's at Mr_B_666. If you're watching on video, you can see it on the bottom of the screen there.
Yep.
That's my Instagram. You can find, usually from my Instagram, you can find both podcasts that I do. I mean, I do Renerdish, which is a nerdy podcast I've been doing with my friend Matt for years. We're basically talk about how the fact that we grew up nerds, but we hit it as kids and now we don't care. So you can find out we're nerds and we talk all nerdy stuff. It's just random. It's really just two old guys talking.
Love it.
And then I do the, like you mentioned, the Down the Rabbit Hole with my good friend Big D. And we talk about random things. We've actually been the last month, we've pretty much been on a medieval kick. And we've talked King Arthur, Robin Hood, Merlin, and gone down and talked about who they really were, who they might have really been, and did they really exist? So
definitely fascinating stuff to listen to. Yeah. You can find us, my normal co-host, Kevin, and I, at By Its Cover Pod on Twitter, which I rarely use anymore, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, By Its Cover Podcast. Also on YouTube, By Its Cover Podcast. we also have a second podcast that deals with our journey through bariatric weight loss surgery. And that's called A Bari Couple. And Bari is spelled B-A-R-I. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, A Bari Couple. And on Facebook, A Bari Couple. And I just want to give a huge thanks to Brandon for watching this movie and spending time with me.
Anytime. Like I've said before, I always love doing this. It's such a blast. So it's I get to spend time with you and then watch random weird movies that I haven't.
Yeah.
You make me watch better movies than Matt does. So
okay, well, Matt. I mean, suck it, Matt.
Okay. I think the last movie he made me watch was called Kung Fu and Titties. So,
oh, okay.
I don't recommend it. Just gonna say that right now. I don't.
That's fair. That's.
I don't. Totally fair. I mean, it's got what's his name from? Oh, what's his? Oh, I can't remember his name. The guy from what's an old movie? Balky.
Balky?
It's an old Perfect Strangers. It was a TV show years ago.
Oh yeah.
But it was the guy that played the in Balky. Now he's it's bad. I mean, it's one of those movies.
Scott Bakula?
No. His name and the character name was Balky, but I can't remember what his real name is. Oh, okay. He was big in the 80s and early 90s, and now nobody knows who he is, and he did this horrible. Look up Perfect Strangers, y'all. He was also in Beverly Hills Cop. Oh, what's his name? So you're looking it up.
It's not Ernest, right? Ernest? No. Ernest is Perfect Strangers. This release date, 1950?
No.
2006?
No, it was a TV show. It's American sitcom. There we go. Yeah, American Strangers and Our Perfect Strangers. Bronson Pinchot.
Oh, Bronson Pinchot. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. He was on Step by Step the younger crowd.
Yeah. But he's like he's in the movie, but it's that's the only hit point. The rest of it, you're just like, I mean, it made Velocipastor look like a good movie. Let's just say that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It was bad.
All right. I'm so, like, Brandon, would you like to say the catchphrase since you're the guest?
I do, but I'm not going to say what I was going to say after because you told me I can't.
No.
comedy is the new sex.
That's right. Comedy is the new sex. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.